Are you available? Everybody turn to your neighbor and say, are you available? Okay, not like that, not like that. For all our singles out there. Jesus is accessible. Are you available for Jesus? All right. Well, we are in our Abide series. This is week two. And Pastor Ron last week talked about the Word became flesh, or Jesus came down, and Jesus is the Word of God. So let's get right in the Bible. John 1, this is verse 1, and then verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Come on now. Verse 14. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Did you know that Jesus is the Word of God? Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God is not a set of rules. It's not a religion. It's not a law. That it is a person. It is a relationship. It is Jesus Christ who came down for you and for me. The Word of God is Jesus. Yes. That's good news. That's awesome. And the reason I'm on stage today, the reason I love Jesus, the reason I serve Him, the reason I'm going to fast for 5 days next week is because Jesus, because the Word of God is a relationship for me. And He changed my life, and He transformed me, and it was through this message, abiding. And so I cannot wait to talk to you about this. I've been excited about this all week. Jesus is accessible. Are you available? Let's pray. Lord, thank You. Thank You, thank You, thank You for this opportunity to share Your Word. Father, I pray that You would connect with us. Lord, that we would know more about You today, that we would abide, that we would grow with You, and that, Lord, You would transform us and change us. Lord, we have needs that only You can meet, and we pray that we would connect to You in a deep way. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Did you know the Bible is one book, but it's also 66 books combined into one? Mm-hmm. And did you know that all of these 66 books agree with one another, and there's one storyline? It's called the arch of the Bible, or there's a story arc, or arch, I don't know, yeah, arc, we'll say arc. There's a story arc in the Bible, and that the whole story of the Bible from Genesis 1 to the end of Revelation is all about our need for Jesus and Him coming and setting us free. The Bible is about Jesus. So when the writer John, when he said Jesus is the Word of God, he was saying the entire Bible has a hero, a central message, a theme, a person who it's about. It is about Jesus. It is about Jesus. So today, I'm going to give you two locked doors. Okay, so we have a locked door. I want you to visualize with me. We have a door that's locked. Okay, and then over here, we have another door that's locked. I'm going to present these to you, and then hopefully I'm going to give you the key to unlock both. Does that sound good? Okay, that's what we're going to do today. So thank you for being here. Okay, the first locked door is a scripture. It's in John 5, 19 through 29. It is on the overhead, and this scripture talks about how the Word gives us life, and I'm going to start. So John 5, 19 through 29. Jesus gave them this answer, "Very truly I tell you, the Son can do nothing by Himself. He can only do what He sees His Father doing, because whatever the Father does, the Son also does. For the Father loves the Son and shows Him all He does. Yes, and He will show Him even greater works than these, so that you will be amazed. For just as the Father raises the dead and gives them life, even so, the Son gives life, in whom He is pleased to give it." Verse 22, "Moreover, the Father judges no one, but has entrusted all judgment to the Son, that all may honor the Son just as they honor the Father. Whoever does not honor the Son does not honor the Father who sent Him." Verse 24, "Very truly I tell you, whoever hears My word and believes, he who sent Me has eternal life and will not be judged, but has crossed over from death to life. Very truly, I tell you, a time is coming, and has now come when the dead will hear the voice of the Son of God, and those who hear will live. For as the Father has life in himself, so he has granted the Son also to have life in himself. And he has given him authority to judge, because he is the Son of Man. Verse 28, do not be amazed at this, for a time is coming when all who are in their graves will hear his voice and come out. Those who have done what is good will rise to live, and those who have done what is evil will rise to be condemned. So this locked door is that Jesus gives life. In the person of Jesus, there is life. And the writer of John, he wrote the Gospel of John a lot later than the other three Gospels. And he was filling in some gaps. And during that time, there were people who said, Jesus, he must have not have been a man, because he was so spiritual, and how could he be God and man? And so John partly was writing this to show that God was both God and man at the exact same time, that he actually was the Word of God, right? And so this passage, we see that the writer is trying to tell you that, listen, Jesus is so connected to God that he actually is God, and that through him, we have life. Does this make sense? We have life through Jesus. So this is the big idea with that scripture, is Jesus has life in himself, and everyone who hears his word and believes the Father receives eternal life. Have you received the life that Jesus has? Are you living like Jesus has given you life? Have you told anyone recently about this life that you have received? Okay, don't worry. This is the first locked door. We're not going to unlock that quite yet. Just put that in your back pocket. All right, this is the second locked door. And this is John 6, 57 through 59. Verse 57. Just as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so the one who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread that came down from heaven. Your ancestors ate manna and died, but whoever feeds on this bread will live forever. He said this while teaching in the synagogue in Capernaum. Now, this is the second locked door, is that Jesus, or the Word of God, feeds our spirit. So number one, Jesus gives life. Number two, Jesus feeds our spirit. Okay, do you feel like you feed on the Lord? What does that even mean? How do you feed on Jesus? Like, sometimes you guys ever read the Bible and like, what does that even mean? Mm-hmm. Like, how do I apply that to my life? How do I feed on Jesus? You know, how does Jesus feed my spirit? How does Jesus give me life? That's the second locked door. And so we're about to look at the key. And that is really the point of this sermon. I'm so excited. I've kind of rushed through just to get here. But the big idea of that scripture is that Jesus is the true bread of heaven. Whoever feeds on him by feeding on his words will live. For his words are the spirit and are the words of eternal life. So you ready for the key? You ready?
Yes.
The key to both of these is abiding. Good. Is abiding. And we're about to take a deep dive into abiding. To get the life that Jesus promises, in John 10:10, says the enemy, the devil, came to kill, steal, and destroy. But I came that you may have life and life abundantly. To get that life, you must abide. The Lord said, I want to free your spirit. He said, even greater things than I have done on earth, you will do in my name, because I go to the Father. To access that, we must abide. We must understand what abiding is. So Pastor Ron defined it last week, but abiding means to remain, to continue, to stay, to dwell, to reside. It's the process of doing that. Pastor Ron did a great job talking about abiding is a process, but abiding is not just a process. Abiding is a position. Good. Abiding is a position Good. That we take with the Lord, right? So I got 3 points about abiding. Number one is abiding in Jesus is God's primary tool to minister to us. Abiding in Jesus is God's primary tool to minister to us. So this abiding, this process, this position of saying, God, I want to spend time with you. I need you. I'm going to read your word because you are your word. I want to spend time with you. That is the number one way God wants to deliver and minister to you. And I'll tell you this, I don't know about y'all, but I need a lot of ministry in my life. The reason I do my devotion in the morning is because I need Jesus to minister to me before I try to minister or talk to anyone else. Good. Abiding is the envelope, it's the package, it's the means by which God wants to minister to us. But if we don't take the time and do the process and take the position to abide in God, in His Word, in prayer, spending time with Him, we will never receive everything that God has for us. I have a quote. It says, abiding is the act of believing, receiving, welcoming, and trusting all that God has in us, all that God has for us. Namely, Jesus' words, love, and joy. The Lord wants to give us His word. He wants to give us His love. And He wants to give us His joy, but you will never receive it without abiding, without abiding. I don't know about you, but very often I wake up and I feel discouraged, just be honest. I got a really good life. Like, God loves me. Like, it's awesome. But I really feel discouraged all the time, you know? And, it, you know, maybe first world problems or whatever, but I just feel discouraged. And I have to run to God and say, God, I need you to minister love and joy to me. I need it. And we don't really need another vacation, right? Well, we need a vacation, but a vacation with Jesus. Some of us need a vacation, I guess. Number two, nothing good spiritually comes outside of abiding in Jesus. Everything else is vanity, works, religion. Mm-hmm. Only good comes from abiding in Jesus. Relationship, abiding in Jesus. Only. And we don't have time to look into it today, but John 15:5, it says, apart from me, you can do nothing. Mm-hmm. Nothing, 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 not one thing. And it's amazing how most days, I don't know about you, but me, I wake up and I try to do a lot of things in my own strength instead of realizing that I can do nothing outside of abiding in Jesus. Now, abiding didn't really make sense to me until I realized the goal of abiding. See, I grew up in a Christian home. I was around people who were very productive for Jesus, right? People were getting a lot of stuff done for God. I went to church, we praised God, we worshiped God, we did all this stuff, prayer meeting, tried to get people saved. And I thought the goal of abiding, the goal of spending time with God was to get stuff done, right? But this is point number three, and this is going to unlock it even further. The goal of abiding is intimacy. Fruit is the product, not the goal.
Excellent.
Intimacy is why we abide with God. You see, God does not actually need me or you to do what He wants to do on earth. He doesn't. He chooses to use us, which is awesome, but He doesn't need us for that. And Jesus put something in us that we need to abide because we need intimacy with God the Father. Let's take marriage, for example. Josh and Anna, this is number one. This is Ashley reference number one. Let's take marriage for example. What if I said to Ashley, Ashley, I want to get married, and the goal of my marriage is to have children. That's it. That's not good, right? That's not good. That's the only reason we're going to hang out or be intimate is to have kids, right? I'm not an English monarch in the 1600s. You know, I'm not trying to keep my line going, you know? It's not the goal of marriage. The goal of marriage is intimacy. Uh-huh. is to connect relationally, to do life together, right, baby? Come on now. And as we are intimate and love each other and spend time with each other, guess what? In a healthy marriage, kids start popping up, right? The goal of abiding is not to just bear fruit. I need to read the Bible so that I can do this, so I can do this, so that I can change and I can do this. No, the goal of reading the Word is to get to Jesus. Intimacy with Jesus. Like, honestly, guys, Christianity kind of really stinks without this intimacy with Jesus. Seriously, like, it's just a stupid religion. Like, it's so dumb. Like, what are we doing here? Just gathering on Sundays and just making each other feel good by the things we do? I really could care less about that. Do you know what really unlocked my heart for ministry and trying to change the world? Was when I realized how much Jesus loved me, how much I can love him, and he started transforming me through the intimacy I had with him. It was insane. It unlocked, it changed my whole life. And now I want to spend time with God because the goal is intimacy. When I read the Bible, I'm spending time. It's like Jesus is there with me. It's amazing. It's amazing. But the goal is intimacy. Abiding is intimacy. Spending time with God. And I'm not going to lie. Most of my life, I'd say from about whenever I could read to about 25 years of age, I probably did my little routine, my little abiding routine, my little devotion routine, is I would probably read 3 chapters a day. And I read it as fast as I could to check a box. So that if my mom asked, Ben, did you read your Bible? Yes, I did. I read this chapter, and this chapter. And I checked a box. And I remember when I got to about 25 years old, I realized I've read the Bible through several times, but I have no idea how to have intimacy with Jesus. I have no idea. And I had to literally go say, you know what? God, I don't know what to do. Can you please show me? And I'm going to try different methods to get intimacy with you. Right? Ashley reference number 2. I said, Ashley, okay, so before we start, Monday night is our date night every week. It's tough. This week we got the national championship and we're fasting, so we got prayer meeting. But anyway, every Monday is date night. Can you imagine if I said, okay, Ashley, every Monday night we're going to go to the same restaurant, we're going to order the same food, and we're going to talk about the exact same things every single week. Is that intimacy? Are we going to grow? Is Ashley going to be fired up about that? No. I hate it. We're not. That's not intimacy. That's a routine. That's discipline. That's good. I'm giving her time and attention. But we're not going to grow because there's no creativity there. Abiding is a creative process of spending time with Jesus. It's amazing. And I'm so glad it is. I'm so glad it is. I'm so glad that my relationship with Jesus does not have to be like your relationship with Jesus. I remember one time when I was really getting serious about God and I was reading the Bible and I remember I just started crying because I felt this love in my heart that I had never felt before. And the Holy Spirit told me, he said, Ben, I know the emotions you need to feel and I'm going to touch your feelings when you need them to be touched. And it blew me away. It blew me away. You know, in my family, there's a lot of scholars. My dad's working on his doctorate. Rebecca's got a PhD. All of us have master's degrees. And it's just, we have some scholars. And so they're, you know, they get fired up by like the Word of God and like different theology. And I love it, but it's not really me. That doesn't get me like juiced up. I'm a feeler. And so when I started feeling, come on, those feels, I was like, not just am I reading God loves me, I feel that God loves me. And I'm like, this is abiding. This is intimacy. This is why you read your Bible. This is why you pray. God has unique, specific love packaged just for you. But the delivery he wants to use is abiding. That's good. It's good stuff. Genesis 15:1. It's not on the overhead, I don't think. And this is the Lord speaking to Abraham. And it says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. He said, do not be afraid, Abram. He said, I am your shield, your very great reward. I remember reading this. And God says to Abram, he said, I'm your shield. I'm going to protect you. I'm going to be there for you. I'm going to provide for you. But he said something very profound. He says, I am your great reward. Mm-hmm. Meaning I'm the goal. I'm the end zone. Relationship with Jesus is not just an avenue to get what we want. That is the purpose of life. God did not save us just to forgive us, so we don't have to go to hell, and so we have to be robots for him. The Lord saved us to spend time with us because he loves us and he wants relationships with us. So when God spoke this to Abram, he said, listen, he said, I am your great reward. I am the goal. When you read the Bible, when you pray, when you come to church, what's your goal? Is God your great reward? Is Jesus your great reward? Is relationship with him enough for you? Or are you just using church to find your husband, to find your wife, to get your destiny, to get your job, so you don't feel bad about yourself, to get free from anxiety, to get healed, whatever? Are you using God or are you pursuing God? That's what abiding is all about. God is the great reward. The book is about Jesus. The book is not about our life improving. The book is about us having a relationship with Jesus where he unlocks everything that we need. He transforms us by his word, and we receive what he has for us. Hudson Taylor said, abiding in Jesus isn't fixing our attention on Christ alone, but it is being one with him. A person is abiding just as much when they are sleeping for Jesus as when they are awake and working for Jesus. Oh, it is a very sweet thing to have one's mind just resting there. Abiding is not just a one-time thing, check the box. Abiding is intimacy with Jesus all the time. All the time. And if your life feels real choppy, kind of bipolar, maybe it's because you put God, Jesus, in a little box, your little devotional box, your little Sunday morning box, instead of saying, God, I want relationship with you the entire time. I want you all the time. Guys, when I figured this out, this changed my life. It changed my life. When I realized that right now, whatever the date is, the 9th, January 9th, that I can experience the fullness of the love of God and that I am perfect in his love right now, that's the point of life, that freed me so I can abide in him. God's preparing me for the next thing. But God has a moment he wants to spend with you right now. He wants to abide with you right now, right? So don't live in the future only. Have one foot now and then one foot in the future. Have one foot say, God, I want to spend time with you. I want to abide with you. Intimacy is my goal. And I'm going to let you transform me because I need to change. And you have something for me to do. Now, we primarily abide with the Lord when we read the Bible. And this is why, definitely if you're part of ENC, but if you're in a discipleship relationship, I hope your discipler is asking you every single time you meet, how is your time in the Word? Yes. What they're asking is, do you abide? Mm-hmm. How seriously do you take intimacy with Jesus? I've never met anyone who has a fired up, great relationship with Jesus, who's living free from sin, bold, making disciples, who is not deeply rooted in the Word of God. Very good. And I don't think I ever will. Yeah. And there's probably, rare cases of, But anyway, the point is that God, this primary way for abiding is in the Word of God. Why? Because Jesus is the Word. Jesus is the Word. Yeah. And I want you to, we're going to read Psalms 119, 43 through 48. I want you to see how David talks about the Word of God. I remember reading this when I was, a little bit younger. I was like, why is David so obsessed with God's word? Like, why is he obsessed with commands and rituals and sacrifice laws? But here we go. Psalms 119, 43 through 48. Verse 43 says, "Never take your word of truth from my mouth, for I have put my hope in your laws." Okay, hope and laws, that's kind of weird. "I will obey your law," that makes sense, "forever and ever. I will walk about in freedom, for I have sought your precepts." That means kind of rules or stuff you're supposed to do. 46, "I will speak of your statutes before kings and will not be put to shame, for I delight in your commands," meaning I get pleasure from your commands. It's crazy. "Because I love them, I reach out for your commands, which I love, that I may meditate on your decrees." Now, he's using a lot of like ancient governmental type language, statutes, decrees. These are things that kings would send out, like, okay, this is the new decree of the land, that every single person shall bring a bushel of wheat to the king's harvest on blah, blah, blah. Like, so David's literally saying, God, all of your Old Testament, Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy, the prophets, he's saying, I love to read your laws. And I was like, why does he love these laws so much? And it clicked. He's spending time with God. He's abiding. David is just professing how intimate he's being with God. And he's getting this intimacy through the scripture. Why? Because it's not just human words. It is Jesus. The word of God is Jesus. Does that make sense? It does to me. Hope it does to you. Psalms 19, 7 through 9 says, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul. The statutes of the law are, of the Lord are trustworthy, making wise the simple. The precepts of the Lord are right, giving joy to the heart. The commands of the Lord are radiant, giving light to the eyes. The fear of the Lord is pure, enduring forever. The decrees of the Lord are firm, and all of them are righteous." Do you see the language that David is using? And he's talking about this. When you abide with Jesus, and when you read the word, it transforms you. You see, the word gives life, and the word feeds our spirit when we abide in it. When the goal is intimacy, when we want to spend time with Jesus, when you open your Bible and you turn to that page, you realize that, Jesus, I'm spending time with you. I'm not just memorizing some human wisdom. I want you. I want you. So, we got four practical steps. Number one is we read the Bible to get to Jesus. You read the Bible to get to Jesus. I know I've already said this. But when Jesus came on the scene 2,000 years ago, the people that hated him the most were the people who had memorized the Old Testament. The Sadducees and the Pharisees, to be a religious leader in Israel, you had to memorize the entire Old Testament, word by word. They put such a priority on Scripture that was most of their day was reading and talking about the Old Testament Word of God. They knew the Word of God inside and out. But when the author came, they hated him and they killed him. We use the Bible to get to Jesus. We don't isolate the Bible by itself. We use the Bible to get the Word of God, to talk to Jesus, to build relationship. Does that make sense? Okay. Number two, you have to cultivate discipline. You have to cultivate discipline. Part of our discipleship, at least with the guys that we do, is about stewardship. Because to be a disciple of Jesus, to follow Jesus, you must be disciplined. Right? And there are no good relationships without some level of discipline. Right? You have to be disciplined and say, I'm not going to do what I want to do. I'm going to do what's best for our relationship. Okay, I can't use any more Ashley references, so I won't. I've used them all. I've only had two a week. But anyway, in a relationship, not ours, but in anyone, Sometimes you have to do things you don't want to do when you don't want to do them. And you have to cultivate discipline. Real practical. You know, reading the Bible in the morning, it starts the night before. What did you have for dinner? If you had junk food, the chances of you reading the Bible like drop. If you stay up really late, the chances of you getting up an hour before work or before class and reading the Bible drop significantly, right? If the last thing you do is looking at blue light on your phone or on your TV and not just spending quality time or praying or reading, then your sleep cycles are going to get messed up, and then you're going to be tired in the morning, right? And if you don't set enough alarms in the morning and then be disciplined to get up, your chances of getting your Bible reading in go down significantly. Reading the Bible, if you're going to read the Bible tomorrow morning, it starts tonight.
Right.
It's real practical, right? And Coach Willie Simmons, the coach of FAMU, the head football coach, he says the way that you do anything is the way you do everything, right? So it's all connected. If you aren't eating right, working out, you know, calling your parents, doing what you're supposed to do, going to class, being a good employee, what makes you think you're going to be a good Christian magically?
Right?
Right?
Good.
I tell my students, listen, if you don't read your textbook, what makes you think you're going to read your Bible magically? It doesn't make sense. If you don't go to class, why should I expect you to come to church? If you have a terrible relationship with your professor or with your parents, how can I expect to have a good relationship with you? We must cultivate discipline. But the point of discipline is not so we did this and we did that. The point of discipline is to abide. It takes discipline to abide.
Good.
Number three, we must embrace sacrifice. To abide with Jesus, you must give up something else. Sometimes those are good things, right? Sometimes I have to give up morning snuggles to spend time with Jesus. Sometimes I have to give up workouts to spend time with Jesus. Sometimes I have to give up, I don't know, something I love to spend time with Jesus. This next week, I'm going to give up food to spend time with Jesus. We must embrace the sacrifice. We must embrace the sacrifice, right? And I'll tell you this, there's probably not a morning I wake up most of the time that I really want to spend time with Jesus, that I want to abide. There's like a ceiling every morning, and I've got to break through the ceiling, and then, whoa, this is awesome. But I'll tell you this, there's never been one time I read my Bible, and then was like, that was a waste of time. I wish I didn't do that. Every time, I'm glad I did. So it's worth it. But there's going to be a ceiling, a pressure on you. Don't do it. It's not worth it. You know, or just you can have your phone in the room. Do it, but just be distracted or multitask or listen to worship on the way to work. That's great. That's really good. But that can't be your core abiding, right? Just do the verse of the day before you go to bed. Can you imagine? I'm gonna use dad now. Yeah, sorry. All right. Can you imagine if my whole relationship with dad was, hey, dad, I want you to just send me one text at night. We'll never talk. We'll never spend time together. But I'll get one text from you and give me one word of wisdom at night. Okay, thanks, dad. Awesome. That's a terrible relationship. But we do that to God. Give me the verse of the night. Or dad, I'm going to call you every night before I go to bed. Just tell you what I want. I'm going to do a prayer about me. I'm just what I want, what I want, what I want. That's terrible. But we do that. Lord, bless me. Help my schoolwork. Help me, help me, help me, help me, help me. Rather than, God, you're awesome. I want to spend time with you. You're amazing. The Bible's about you. I need you. You need to minister to me. Transform me. Lord, it's about you. You're awesome. You're amazing. See the difference there? Number four, we foster intimacy, not task completion.
Excellent.
We foster intimacy, not task completion. Now, hopefully, everybody's busy in this room, right? That's a sign of a productive adult, okay? And there's seasons. Sometimes I'm more busy than others. But we've all got stuff to do. And it's very easy to see devotion to God or abiding with Him or spending time with Him as just a task. I'll go to church on Sunday and I'm good for another week, right? But you've got to foster intimacy. You got to build with the Lord. You've got to abide with him. You've got to humble yourself and say, Lord, I need you to minister to me. For the Christian, peace is not simply the absence of conflict or any other artificial state that the world has to offer. Rather, it is the deep, abiding peace only Jesus Christ brings to the heart, by Billy Graham. And I want you to try something. This is your homework. I'm going to give you guys homework, okay? Our students probably have enough homework, but there's one little more piece of homework. Tomorrow morning, starts tonight, but tomorrow morning when you wake up before work, before class, and you're just going to spend time with the Lord, which I know all of us should, and hopefully all of us will, but I want you to spend the first 10 minutes telling God how wonderful he is. Don't ask for anything. Don't request anything. Spend 10 minutes just thanking God, worshiping him, praising him, telling him how grateful you are, focusing on him. And it's going to stink at times, and you're going to run out of things to say. Pick up a dictionary, pick up a thesaurus, and just read off, just tell God how wonderful and amazing he is for 10 minutes. Then I want you to do this. I want you to pray and say, Jesus, I'm going to read, open the word, and whatever you tell me to do, I will do, no matter what it is. And just watch as God speaks to you. Did you know that the reason the Lord doesn't speak to us sometimes is because he knows we're not going to obey it anyway? And so he kind of saves us the trouble, right? I think maybe he saves us some judgment, right? Did you know when the Lord really started talking to me? When I said, God, whatever you tell me to do, I will do, right? Am I perfect in that? No, but I try my best. Whenever I feel the Lord leading me or guiding me to do anything, I try to do it. So those things, 10 minutes, worship God, praise God, brag on God, tell God how much he means to you, love on God, and then say, God, if you speak to me, I will obey, and then open the word and see what happens. It's going to blow your mind, okay? So today we're going to pray, and some of us, you know, we need to reestablish that connection, and our prayer team's going to be up here to pray with you afterwards. If you need to repent, say, God, I have not even been abiding in you. I need to. If you need help with a plan of what to read and where to read and how to read the Bible, come see our prayer team. But if not, God bless you, and so let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for everyone here. Lord, I pray that we would be a church, a campus ministry, small groups, a children's ministry, that we would be just a body of believers that is obsessed with abiding in you. And that, Lord, you would be our primary concern, that we would minister to you, that we would be intimate with you. And Father, I pray for anyone here who's believing a lie that, you know what, I've tried this before. I've tried to read my Bible. I've tried to do this. I've tried, and I feel nothing. I don't get anything out of it. I pray that you would just break that off, anyone who's experiencing that right now, and that you would even right now touch them, Father, with your love. Lord, I pray that this week that you would deliver love to people the way they need to receive it. And Father, I pray that you would intercede and you would draw people by your Holy Spirit into devotion, into prayer, into fasting this week. And Lord, we even repent, just Lord, myself and as a church, Father, for at times just checking a box with you, for not really seeking your heart, for not really seeking intimacy, or not going as deep as we should, but just doing our little task instead of seeking intimacy. So Lord, I pray that you would forgive us, that you would bless us in the name of Jesus. Amen. All right, our prayer team will be up here. Don't forget, grab an Abide booklet on the back table and come see us during the week. We got prayer and worship every day this week. So God bless you. God be with you. Have a great Sunday.